We've got two new ones back there that Phil is working really hard at getting them all fired up and ready to go. And it's no easy feat to make me sound good. So, the tech team is this. I've been a part of a tech team for decades. And one of the things I know about that is they are the unsung heroes. Nobody knows they're there until something goes wrong. And then we all do this. Right? And so thank you guys. You're my heroes. Love you. You guys are doing a great job. It's remarkable what happens there. Well, good morning. How's everybody's day? This wonderful Montana spring weather, right? Gotta love it. I was just talking to somebody this morning saying, man, I'm 8 days away from track. And it never fails. But, well, if you are a guest with us and I didn't get a chance to greet you, my name is Dave and I'm the pastor here. And I am very happy that you are here. If you're looking for a church home, can I just say this? Welcome home. We here at New Life, I can't speak highly enough. I love our church family here. It is amazing. And I think the best thing that I love about it is that that we all get it, that we don't do life alone. And I'm just excited. And if you have any questions, if you're a guest with us, you can grab a hold of myself or Steve and Sarah, who will be at the Welcome Center at the end of the service. They have a gift for you. I think Charity already said that. But we just want to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. And I'm just excited. I'm excited. We're going somewhere I've never gone before. And I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable starting out this morning. Is that okay? Yep. Perfect. There are some times that I struggle controlling my thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? Let me just share a couple thoughts that kind of roll through my head from time to time. It's, you know, thoughts like this. How could I be so stupid? Anybody ever been there? Nothing ever goes right for me. It sucks. I'm no good at this. Why do I even try? God, why in the world did you pick me? Every time I get one step ahead, it's 10 steps backwards. That's the dumbest idea I've ever had in my life. Anybody have thoughts like that? If something's going to go bad, it's going to be when I'm doing it. Right? Or, I'm such a horrible parent. I suck at this parenting thing. I am the worst. If there was a prize for the worst husband, I would be the number one winner. Thoughts like that, right? Thoughts like that. And if we're being honest with ourselves, I'm not the only one in this room that struggles with thoughts like that, right? But on the other side of it, there's thoughts like this that roll through my head. Somehow, some way, I'm going to find the answer, right? I'm not going to quit. I can't be defeated. I'm going to take that hill. I'm going to, you know, those kinds of thoughts. Or today's my day. Right? Today's my day. Something good is going to happen. God is on my side. I'm not afraid of anything. If someone comes at me, they're going to have to deal with my Heavenly Father. Thoughts like that. I'm full of God's grace and power. Right? His Spirit leads and guides my steps. I made great decisions in my life. God gives me the ability to make right decisions. I have the mind of Christ and I'm sharp. Those kinds of thoughts, right? I am a good parent, even though my kids say otherwise. I refuse to bow to the shame and guilt. Or, I've got this. By the power of Jesus, I've got this. What kind of thoughts rule your mind this morning? Are they the first or the latter? But here's the thing that we're gonna talk about is this. They're gonna ebb and flow, right? And when we have an enemy of our soul, he's going to try to bombard us and fill us with these other thoughts. But God has given us the power to control our thoughts. And I came across this quote from Pilgrim's Progress. It says this, if you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would fight never to allow a negative one again. I just thought, ooh, well, that's good stuff, right? Research tells us that on the average day, 50,000 thoughts roll through our head. 50,000. Think about that. Right? If you've got ADHD, it's probably double. I don't know. Right? 50,000 thoughts. But research also reveals to us that 90% of those thoughts are a repeat from the day before. Let that sink in for a second. 50,000 thoughts a day. 90% of those are from the day before. It's amazing how we can get so caught up in a cycle of thoughts, right? We get caught in this cycle. We get caught in these thought patterns. Now, this could be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. But we've got to get out of these mental ruts and these patterns that are negative. Right? We've got to break that. So today we're gonna begin a journey together, a journey of the mind. Wendy's looking at me like, ooh, ho-ho. Now our fundamental text today, our main text this morning is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Now, if you're a note taker, this is your first fill-in. God's word gives us the prescription for mental and spiritual health. Right back there, Philippians 4:8. That's the prescription, right? Words that were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago were speaking to an issue and a problem for followers back then. But isn't it amazing how it's still applicable to us today, right? It still speaks to us and applies to us today. The things that we think about have a huge impact on our lives. To think means this. The definition, the Webster's Dictionary says, having a particular opinion, belief, or idea about someone or something. Or to direct one's mind towards something or someone, use one's mind actively to form connected ideas. That's the definition, right? We've got to start understanding that our lives will always move in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Think about it for a minute. If we have 50,000 thoughts a day, that's a lot of thoughts to filter and process, right? And whatever the ones that we give the most control to, the ones that we give the most power to, the most dominant thoughts, that's the direction that our life is going to go. It is absolute high. Her watch liked that statement, right? Mine's always trying to figure out what I'm saying, right? Whatever we allow, the thoughts that we allow will move us in the direction of our most dominant thoughts, right? I was thinking about this week, so I wrote this in my notes. Our entire belief system in Jesus Christ is based upon hearing the message of love and grace, right? Right? Faith comes by hearing. Right? So we hear the message of love and grace. Then we think about it, right? We those words enter our mind. We believe that what we've heard, and we form an opinion or a belief on said thing. You following me? So you hear the message of Jesus Christ, of grace and faith. It enters our mind. Then we determine, am I going to surrender to Jesus Christ or not? Right? We have formed that based upon first hearing. You with me? If you're with me, say, uh-huh. Okay? And then it led to an action, right? An action of faith, of committing our lives to Jesus. Right? Started with what? Let's all say it together.
Hearing.
Perfect. So we have a decision to make, right? We had a decision to make then. We have a decision to make today. How much weight are we going to put into the wisdom that Jesus shares with us in this passage that we're going to read again in a moment? The words of Apostle Paul in Philippians, right? The crazy thing about this, did you know that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Philippian church, Philippians, he was in prison, shackled in prison. It's not like today, right? They maybe got fed once in a while, right? They didn't have three hots in a cot, like they say now, right? They can't get a college education in law on the taxpayers' dollars and watch TV and lift weights and all that stuff. It was a different prison than we have today. He was in prison when he wrote that. Right? And he's edifying, he's lifting up, he's encouraging a church. So you got Paul. So how much weight are we going to put into this wisdom that Jesus shares with us in this passage of scripture? Right? And here's the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, think about it. Think about it. Now, how many have ever had a doctor prescribe you an antibiotic because you got an infection or something? Right? We all have that stuff. Okay, now what happened is, so the doctor says, okay, here's a prescription. I want you to take it 3 times a day for 7 days, right? And at the end of those 7 days, your infection is still there. Not only is it still there, it's worse. Whose fault is that? The doctor, right? The doctor's fault, right? But here's the crazy thing about it. It's the doctor's fault if you didn't follow the instructions, right? So if you took them faithfully, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days, the infection gets worse, it's the doctor's fault. He dropped the ball. But what if the doctor gives you this prescription and you take one a day, every other day, maybe if you remember or think about it, I hate drugs, it's going to run its system. And then you get to the end of it and it's worse. Whose fault is it? Right? It's our fault. Now, here's the thing about this. And that's what I want us to grab a hold of, right? God's word is a prescription that will cause you and I to have a better life. Right? So here's the question that I have. Dr. Jesus, Jesus has given us a prescription that will lead us to a healthier life, a healthier marriage, a healthier career, and a healthier future. If we follow it, right? So the question that I want you to start wrapping in your brain a little bit here is, are you willing to hear and then act upon it? We live in a world today that I think is safe to say many of us struggle with grabbing hold of our thoughts. I can't control my thoughts. I can't control my thoughts. Right? God says you can. He's given us the ability in this amazing computer we have in our skull to control the thoughts that we have, to grab a hold of them, to look at them, toss them away, or to grab a hold of them, look at them, and let them go forward. We have that power. You got the power, right? To quote He-Man, I've got the... Going back a ways. So let's look at what Jesus teaches us through a powerful illustration and parable. If you got your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 6. If not, I think Craigie's got it up on the screen here in a minute. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 44. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. It says this: a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are never picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury. Everybody say treasury. Treasury. We're going to come back to that. Of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, I looked up heart in the Strong's Concordance in the Greek, and the Greek word is cardia. What's that sound like? Cardiac, cardio, right? Heart. The definition is this: it's the heart. Figuratively, it's the thoughts and feelings in our mind, right? It also, by analogy, is the middle. The middle, okay? When we were made in the image of God, it was body, spirit, soul, right? That's it. It's the inward man or the inward woman is heart. Now, the heart is just the blood pumping muscle, right? But it is considered to be the control center. But in this reference, it's your mind, right? It's your mind. You following me? So let's run with his thought. What is he saying here in this passage of scripture? The outward visible fruit of our lives is a direct correlation to the seeds we have planted or allowed to be planted in our heart, our character, attitudes, words, and actions, right? Are the result of seeds planted. Okay, that grew into a belief and produced actions or behaviors. Okay, the fruit of your lips, the fruit of my lips, reflects what has been sown in my heart and in my mind. Right? In Job chapter 3, verse 25, I love this passage of scripture. It says, What I've always feared, what I've always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. What do we see right there? What I've always feared and what I've always dreaded has come true. That's telling on him, right? He's focused on the fear. He's focused on the dread. And whatever we focus on gets bigger, right? It comes to fruition. Proverbs says, so a man thinks, so he is. Man, think about it. Think about how much power and influence is in our mind, right? What are you planting or what are you allowing to be planted in your life? Is it seeds of strife or seeds of peace? Is it hate or love? Evil or goodness? You can't expect to grow oranges if you've planted apple seeds, right? Man, if you did that, that would be something, right? That'd be something. Either you have got an amazing green thumb that you just did something miraculous, or somebody back in the packing plant that was supposed to put orange seeds in and they put apple seed, there's something there. But you can't. If you plant oranges, you can't expect to get apples. You follow me? If you follow me, say uh-huh. Every seed produces its own kind, right? It's the same with our thoughts. If all we're doing is planting negative, 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 we're not going to get positive. You following me? It produces its own kind. And I know the world that we live in, there's so much information, there's so much stuff that comes in. We've got to grab a hold of this, family. We've got to. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, don't be misled. You cannot mock justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live and please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit, right? You can't expect to speak words of kindness and blessing if you fill your heart and mind with the seeds of anger, cursing, and evil. The dog don't hunt. It don't hunt. We've got to be sure of what we're allowing to be planted and what we're planting ourselves. It is important for us to grab a hold of this. It's input equals output, right? Or like I always say, you put garbage in, you get garbage out. But it's true on the other side. You put good in, you're going to get good out. It washes that way. It's the way that it is. You're going to reap what you sow. Another amazing passage of scripture that is so true, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So what is a treasury? That's a word that we don't use very often. What is a treasury? Say it again. A place that you store things. Things that are valuable, right? I'm not going to store potatoes in my treasury. Well, maybe if the apocalypse happens or something, probably. I don't know. But I'm not going to, right? It's where we store and keep things of value, okay? So we're hearing all this, and it we can wrap our mind around it, but what's the solution? What's the solution, Pastor? How do we turn this around? Because here's the crazy thing about it. You can rewire your thinking. Did you know that? People are like, no, man, I can't. You can rewire the way that you think. But it's not an overday, one and done, you know, overnight process. It takes us a while to do this, right? So the solution is this. First, we take an inventory. A think inventory, right? A think inventory. And it's remarkable. When you start your day and you start talking, sometimes we need people, other people to help us take this inventory because we need to be more self-aware, ultimately, right? We need to be more self-aware of the things that come out of our mouth. I have an amazing wife that helps me with my think inventory. And I am very grateful because sometimes my family, let me give you a little history about my family. I'm German, Irish, Scottish, and a lot of hotheads in my family, right? Come by it biologically, I guess. I don't know. But I can only be around my family, my side of the family, for 2 days. And they got to go, or I got to go. Because all it is nitpick, 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 nya, 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 nya. And guess where I start to go? Nya, 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 nya. And Charity's like, Ginther? Yes, love? You're getting negative, right? You're getting negative. And I have to grab a hold of that and change. Right? That's why we leave in 2 days. Or they leave in 2 days. It's very strategic. Right? Very strategic. But the garden of our life, think about it like this. Our garden of our life reflects the seeds that we have planted. Right? How many of you have been around with people or work with people that are constantly negative all the time? Right? Right? It's like, right? You want to just blow a gasket by the time. It's like, nobody wants to work around that. But what if you're the negative person? Nobody wants to work with you. Nobody wants to play with you. Nobody wants to hang out with you. Nobody's going to invite you to Applebee's. Huh? Right? We've got to take an inventory, our outward lives. And here's the thing that this is where the self-awareness comes. Our outward lives reflects our inward thoughts. Man, I'm not just preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to the preacher today. Right? There are days that I struggle with grabbing a hold of my thoughts. There's days that I struggle. I don't watch the news on purpose. I try to stay away from, I watch things that bring me joy, like the Food Network. I love the Food Network. Beat Bobby Flay. It's my favorite. Last night, my family was ready to throw me out of the house because it was Iron Chef America. Boom. Right? But here's the thing. You show me someone who walks around defeated all the time, and I'll show you their thoughts that they think about. Right? Not just from the past few weeks or months even. We've got to start wrapping our mind around. We begin with our first thoughts and memories as a childhood. What was it that was being planted in me then? Here's the crazy thing about it. We don't ever think about this, right? But, and I won't ask how many people have ever gone to a therapist or anything like that, but I'm not against them. That's powerful stuff. But there's a reason that they go back and ask you about your childhood. Because the way that we are today had to start somewhere. Picking up what I'm throwing down. And it most likely started with the seeds being planted when you were little. And it just grew into whatever fruit that it is. Right? A fruit tree. It takes years before it starts producing fruit. Most of the time, right? I think. All right? Some of the fruit of your thinking may be from years or even decades ago. Words that were spoken over us, good or evil. The words are powerful, right? Scripture tells us that the power of life and death are in the tongue. They're powerful. They plant seeds, right? And we've got to determine, this is the place that we've got to determine if they're truth or a lie. Are the words that were spoken over me truth or a lie? Your mom and dad said, you suck, you ain't worth nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. You're worthless. You're ugly and you can't read good. Truth or lie? Right. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That was a great one. The seeds that are planted. You're going to be amazing. The potential that you have. You can do anything that you want to do. Man, you are so gifted. You are handsome. You are a warrior. You are, and you can go on and on. Truth or lie? We've got to pick it up and look at it, right? And to determine, is that a truth or a lie? Whatever's coming in our ear gate, we got to grab a hold of and look at it. Truth or lie? And we've got to either toss it or accept it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and I'm going to read out the Amplified Version, says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourself, right? Examine yourself, not me examine you. Examine yourself, me examine myself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves by your ongoing experience, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as counterfeit? We got to be self-aware. We got to examine ourselves, right? We got to examine, what's the fruit that's coming, that I'm producing? What is the fruit? Now, here's the key. If your heavenly Father wouldn't say it, believe it, or declare it over you, then it's a lie and it should be removed. Let me say that one again. I don't know who this is for today, but it's for somebody. I just feel it. If your heavenly Father wouldn't say it, believe it, or declare it over you, it's got to be removed. It's a lie. Back to Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix, right? Fix your thoughts. What does fix mean? I'm not talking about fixing a dryer, but adhere to. Focus. Drill down on. Fix your thoughts on what is true. What is honorable. What is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. That are the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Think on those things. There's the prescription right there. God writes a script, sends it to you through the Holy Spirit saying, there is how you're to think. That's a filter, right? It's a filter. 8 tests right there. Things come in your head, is it true? Yes or no? Nope, it's out right there. First filter, first test. No, it's true. Okay, is it honorable? There's another test. Is it right? Is it pure and lovely and admirable? If it is, cool, let it come in. Grab a hold of that, right? Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy and worthy of praise. Those are the things that we're supposed to think about. When the negative comes, when you're around negative, negative produces negative. When you're around negative, boom, you start thinking about things that are true. You start thinking about things that are pure. You start thinking about things that are honorable. You focus on that because that's what gets bigger in your mind. That's what gets bigger in your world, right? That's what produces good fruit. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Man, we live in a day and age, family, that we've got to grab a hold of this one because all the garbage that's thrown at us, oh my gosh, makes me want to go back to the 80s. For one of many reasons. Music was way better. It's like a coffee filter, right? You put a coffee filter in and it separates the goodness, the holy nectar, right, from the grounds. You don't sit there and just eat coffee, right? Unless you do. Do you? Does anybody eat coffee grounds? Please say no. Right? It filters out the bad from the good. Make sense? It's this. That passage of scripture is a filter. It's 8 of them. Right? How do we identify the lies? Now, that's a good question. Right? Let's look. In John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. You are truly my disciples. This is Jesus speaking. If you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth. And the truth will
set you free.
And the truth will
set you free.
And the truth will
set you free.
You guys are amazing. And the truth will
set you free.
And the truth will
set you free.
Oh, you guys are getting it. What's the truth? The Word of God is the truth, the absolute truth. Right? The absolute truth. Just because someone says something that's contrary to, well, the Bible's not this, doesn't make it truth. This is truth. Absolute truth. You can take it to the bank. But how are you going to know the truth and how is it going to set you free if you're not in it? Oh, snap. Pastor, go back up on stage. You're getting too close to me. Yes, sir. How are you going to know the truth? You will know my disciples that truly are my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth by being in his teachings, by being in the book, by being in the Word of God, the spoken, inerrant Word of God that is good for correcting, teaching, rebuking, and training in all righteousness, 1 Timothy says, 2 Timothy says, 3:16. Then the truth will set you free. Oof, I get goosebumps. Right? We go to the truth of God's word. Let's go to John chapter 15. This is not on the thing, I don't think. I want to read something to you. Is that okay? Again, Jesus has taken us to school. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more fruit. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Jesus says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. That's we all. That's good English. We all. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And it goes on and on and on and on. The point of the matter is this. The only way that we produce fruit, the only way that we are set free, is by being in his word and abiding in him. What does it mean to abide? That's another word that we don't use today very often. Follow? Huh? Stay with, abide, be in, right? Saturated, right? Abide. You abide in your house, right? You abide, you're in, grafted in, you're in. It's not something that you do occasionally, right? You're abiding in. You are in. You're committed. You're all in. All in. Right? That's what abide. You abide in me, I will abide in you. This is what God is telling us, which leads us to number three. We defend the garden of our hearts. Right? In Proverbs, it says to guard your heart. Right? Guard your heart, for out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Right? The garden of your heart. Protect it. Guard it. Don't allow people to take chunks out of it. Now, that doesn't mean that you aren't vulnerable. That doesn't mean that you don't love and care for other people. But you guard it. You guard who you give your heart to. Right? You guard it. We guard and defend the garden of our hearts. It's actually Proverbs 4:23. Do I have it up on the screen? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, here's a challenge question for us to ask ourselves. Is what I am listening to or watching adding or depleting me? And here's why we ask ourselves this. Because the two gates into our inward self are our eyes in our ears, right? What we watch goes in. What we hear goes in. Is it adding to or depleting our life? Is it producing good seeds or bad seeds? Because here's the thing, the two primary sources, like I said, of direct access to our hearts and minds is that, what we see and what we hear. News, media, social media. That's why social media is destroying a generation. It's destroying a generation. It's constant, right? And we get into this world that isn't even real. And it's crazy. Facebook's the same way. I mean, as a TikTok and all these things. But here's the crazy thing about it. Is all we're seeing is someone's highlight reel, right? And then we're comparing ourselves to somebody's highlight reel, but we have no idea what their real life is. But then we're comparing ourselves and go, gosh, I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to do this. I got to do this because I got to. And then it creates a negative seed. Is you following me? There's something wrong when we're waiting for a Facebook like and getting a dopamine hit for a like because I took a picture of my plate at a buffet. What? What's that all about? The sad thing is I've done it. Oh my gosh. What is the world coming to, Ian? Taking pictures of our plate. Post. Who like? Really? That's dumb. But here's what I know. That news, media, social media, all that stuff, it will shipwreck your faith. It will depress you and send you off a cliff if you aren't guarding your garden of your heart. What am I trying to say to us? I'm saying this. There's a difference between being informed and consumed. Right? There's a difference between being informed and consumed. We need to be informed. We need to know what's going on in our world, but we don't need to be consumed by it. Right? There are one or two good things about social media. Can't give them to you off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure there are. It's a good way of communicating, right? 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us in chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Now, I looked this up in the Message translation, and I got it on PowerPoint, and I love this. It says, the tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, and fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. That's just good. Right? It's kind of like this. Remote control. Right? I've heard it called the God stick. Right? But the remote control of our life, the remote control of our life. Here's the analogy I want to make with it. So many times we leave the TV on, right? We leave the TV on and the mind is open and all it's doing is downloading, right, to anything and everything. It's downloading into our brain and we don't control it. And sometimes we need to be able to change the channel to what is coming into our life. Sometimes we just need to hit the power button and throw it down. Did I just break it? No, good. Right? But what? So we have to either change the channel or cut off the source and the supply of what's coming in and feeding the negative. Does that make sense? Which brings to number four, we aggressively plant good seeds and good thoughts. Good seeds and good thoughts. I need to keep moving. We can't produce what we haven't planted, right? Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Anybody be able to quote the fruit of the Spirit for me? Say it loud. Boom. Boom. Good job. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, self-control, right? Here's the crazy thing about it. They're all gifts of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Are we cultivating that in our life? I never thought about it before, but it's like that's stuff that we should be cultivating, right? We should be cultivating love. We should be cultivating joy. We should be cultivating kindness, right? Patience. You know, there's always that joke, don't ever pray for patience. Look, God just provides lots of opportunity for you to develop it, right? To cultivate it. It's that kind of thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, right? To dwell in your heart and your mind, permeate every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and singing and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. We just read this. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness and the world, the wild parties and the drunkenness or the sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, everybody say instead. Okay, instead of all these things that we just read, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great mental picture? Clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself, what? Think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, this is Moses, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. So let me wrap this up this morning. I said something fly in my eye. Here we go. So much of the unhappiness in a person's life comes simply from their unwillingness to discipline and control their own thoughts. Let me say that again. So much of the unhappiness in a person's life comes simply from their unwillingness to discipline, it's a discipline, and control their own thoughts, right? Grabbing a hold of our thoughts.